privilege and the honor of stepping out in faith and giving and delivering God's word. So, God is good. Thank you, Brother Doug, for turning off those fans, because they get pretty noisy. But God is good. God is so very good. I know he's been good to me, and I know he's been good to y'all. Amen? I want to talk to you tonight about believing in God. Not just a God, but the God. Because there's only one in true living God, and his name's Jesus. Thank you for the amen. His name's Jesus. There is no other that can save. There is no other that can deliver. There is no other name under heaven where we can be saved, save the name of Jesus. Father, I want to thank you for this evening. I want to thank you for the privilege and the honor of delivering your word. Father, have your way in this place, Father. Lord, if you want to change the message, Father. I'm just the messenger, the servant, Father. Lord, I submit myself to you, Father. I pray that your word would fall on good ground, Father, and that it would bring forth much fruit, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. But we serve a good God, and he's delivered me from many, many things, even as a Christian. I know he's never delivered y'all because y'all walk uprightly and y'all are always perfect. But he delivers us in the time of trouble. He heals our body in the time of trouble. Because he's a good God. If you have your Bibles, turn with me, please, to the book of John, chapter 12. We're going to start in verse 38. We're going to start in verse 38. That's where we're going to go. Something dropped in my spirit this morning, and as I was getting ready for church, and I didn't know he was going to have me go on with it this evening, but we're going to go on with it, and it's just about believing in God. That the saying of, is everybody there? That the saying of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spake, Lord, who hath believed our report, and to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? Now I want to stop right there for just a moment, because there's a lot of reports out there in the world today. You've got the report of the news, you've got the report of the media, you've got the report of fellow Christians who aren't following Jesus as close as they should, bringing you down, one is saying discouraging words. And it's very important that we believe God's report and we believe God's word, no matter the circumstance, no matter what report we might get from the doctor, no matter what our bodies are telling us, we must believe the report of the Lord, because our bodies might ache, they might have pains, but God wants to heal our bodies. Can you say amen? He's a healing God, and he has the power to heal us. And it is time for us as Christians to believe, to see the glory of God in our bodies and in this place. It is time. And to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? Therefore they could not believe, because that Isaiah said again, he hath blinded their eyes. Isn't that a terrible thing when God blinds somebody's eyes so they can't see the glorious light of the gospel? That's a horrendous, terrifying thing to never see the light of the gospel. That is a terrible thing. And that's something God did. That ain't something the devil did. That's something the Lord did. Did he not just say that? This ain't my word, it's his. Take it up with him. He hath blinded their eyes and hardened their heart. That's a terrible thing when God hardens your heart. It's one thing for our hearts to be hard and us to be stubborn. But it's another thing when God does it because of our sin and idolatry. They should not see with their eyes nor understand with their heart and be converted. I'm glad the Lord didn't harden my heart and I was able to be converted. I'm glad that most of the people in this room have been converted. I don't know everybody, but those that are in here that I know, thank God that you have been converted. Thank God that you didn't go so far that you couldn't be converted. When I read this, it scares me to know that God does this to people. And it's God that does it. It's not necessarily the devil does it or themselves do it, but God does it to where they never see the glorious light of the gospel. Oh, it gets better. I know it sounds horrifying at first, and it is, but it does get better, my brother and sister. Understand with their heart and be converted, and I should heal them. These things said Isaiah when he saw his glory and spake of him. Nevertheless, among the chief rulers also, many believed on him. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. For they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. I want to stop right there. Because we're living in a time and a day where people love the praise of men more than they love the praise of God. Because if they love the praise of God more than they love the praise of men, they would preach what the Spirit of God tells them to preach instead of what's positive and what seems to be accepted by their peers. You're not always going to be accepted by your peers for believing in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You're going to be looked at funny. You're going to be laughed at for believing in the God of Abraham, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Believe you me. Because it takes somebody radical to believe the God of this word. But the person that believes the God of this word will have the absolute backing of the God of this word. For they love the praise of men more than the praise of God. I don't want the praise of men. Jesus didn't put his trust in men because he said he knew what was in man. Too many times we put our trust in, and please understand where I'm coming from. I'm not against doctors. I'm not against medicine. I'm against it if you look to it instead of looking to Jesus. Yes, I'm against it. But if God can use it to heal us and to make us better, I'm for it. But if we're trusting in men and going to the doctors and we're not coming to the cross and we're not coming to an altar to be healed, we're not trusting in God. We're trusting in man. And God wants us to trust in Him again. I'm going to say something that I believe to be true. It hasn't happened yet, but I believe that it's going to happen just because of the way the economy is. And time will tell that if I'm right or if I'm wrong. It always does. But I believe the medical industry is going to get so expensive that we're not going to be able to afford health insurance. Oh, thank you for the amen. And what are we going to have to do then when we don't have medical insurance? We're going to have to trust God. Just like the first church did, they trust God for their health. And God will sustain His children. God will heal His children. Thank you for the amen. God, I didn't say man would. I didn't say a pastor would or an evangelist would. I said God would. He can use those, but God will heal His very own children. That's why I'm into Jesus. I'm not into a church or an organization, but I'm into Jesus. Because Jesus makes the difference. Thank you for the amen. That's the man I'm into. For they love the praise of men more than the praise of God. Jesus cried and said, He that believeth on me, believeth not on me, but on him that sent me. And he that seeth me, seeth him that sent me. I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. And if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not. For I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The world, the word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me. He gave me a commandment what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak. We're living in a day where you tell somebody, well, brother, God wants to heal you. The word says you can be healed. And you get looked at like you got two heads. Amen. Come on, you know I'm telling you the truth. It's one thing for the world to do it, but it's crushing when your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ do it. When you give them what God's word says, and you tell them that they can be healed, that God wants to heal them. Well, Brother Sean, well, this person didn't get healed. You know what? You're right about that. Let's go a little bit deeper into their life and see if they had any unforgiveness in their life. Let's get down to the root of the matter. Jesus said the axe is laid unto the root. There are reasons people don't get healed. It has nothing to do with the power of God nor the glory of God. It has to do with our individual walk with Christ. Thank you for the amen. It has to do with whether if Mike offends me and I don't forgive Mike and I go to God for healing, guess what? I'm not getting healed. I don't care who prays for me. I don't care who prays for me. I don't care what grand anointing you think they have according to the word of God. You can't violate God's word and expect to be healed. You can't disobey God's word and expect to get healed. Your children disobey you? Are you going to bless them? I'm not going to bless mine when they disobey me. My parents didn't bless me when I disobeyed them. Boy, it's quiet in here. That's good. Y'all are listening. I'm glad. But see, whose report are we going to believe? We've all been given something in the measure of faith. Everybody in here, for the majority of us, we believe that God can heal. We believe and we all say that we want to see the glory of God. And I believe that we want to see it. And my brother and sister, it's time for us to pull the limits off. It's time for us to pull the veil back off of our eyes and just believe God, no matter if we're ridiculed, laughed at, or mocked, even by Christians. Just believe God. God will defend you, and God will stand up for you. Doesn't matter what your peers might say, as long as you've got the favor and the blessing of the Lord, and you've got the answer to prayer, the proof's in the pudding. The proof is in the pudding. The proof's in the answered prayer. The proof's in God delivered you one more time. The proof is in God pulled you up out of the miry clay and set your feet on the rock to stay. What stands before you? What mountain? What sickness? What disease stands before you that's too hard for God? Think about it. Ask yourself the question. What's before you that you say to yourself, well, I know God heals, but I've heard it my whole life. I've heard it my whole life. Well, it's okay. No, it's not okay. It's not okay for my brothers and sisters to suffer. When Jesus paid for healing at the cross with stripes upon his back and says that with his stripes we are healed, past tense. And it's related in the past tense form. And believe you me, I'm not the smartest cookie in the cookie jar. But I know enough about English to know that that's the past tense. That's related to the past tense. And when we don't get healed, it's never God's fault. I've heard it my whole life. Well, it's God's fault. No, it is never God's fault. It is our fault when we don't get healed. If something comes on me and I get ailment and I don't get healed, it ain't God's fault. Maybe I've got unforgiveness towards somebody, or I've got bitterness towards somebody that I thought that I dealt with and I really didn't deal with it. It was just kind of under the surface. But when I saw that person, the hurt came out and the unforgiveness came back up and I had to deal with it. We want God to heal us, and we don't want to forgive our brother and sisters who offend us. And it doesn't work that way, my brother and sister. It doesn't work that way. We have to forgive everyone. If Jesus forgives us, it says, freely you receive, freely you give. You give back. Jesus forgives us, we've got to forgive one another. It doesn't matter how bad they hurt you. And I don't know why I'm beating this old dog again, but I am. Because you don't hear it too much. Everybody just goes in a prayer line and gets prayed for. And we don't deal with the issues that are in the heart. And it's a heart issue, my brother and sister. It's never a God issue or it's never a power issue. It has always been a heart issue with God's people. The children of Israel came up to the promised land and they could not enter because of unbelief. They saw the land. It was right before their eyes. How terrible it must be to have your healing right before your eyes. And because of something in your heart towards a brother or towards a sister, you can't have that that God has paid for at Mount Calvary. Or we believe God to heal us and we don't see the manifestation of it because of unforgiveness. Unforgiveness is serious. Beware lest there be in you an evil heart of unbelief and departing from the living God. Beware lest there be a root of bitterness springing up in you, troubling you. I know of a woman who became bitter with somebody. And I'm not going to mention their name. But they got bitter and they wound up in a nursing home and they wound up dying before their time. Saying the praises of God and ended up dying before their time because of bitterness. Because we cannot violate God's word and expect Him to heal us. He's got all power and He holds all authority. And it is nothing for Him to heal a cancer. It is nothing for Him to heal any kind of disease. But the disease of unforgiveness He can't heal, because you and I have to forgive the one to the right of us and the one to the left of us. That is the one disease He cannot heal. I don't know why I'm beating on this. Lord, you know why. Lord always knows why. I was going to go a whole nother direction, and I don't know why, but I can't. I can't. We want God to do the miraculous, and we don't even want to obey His word and forgive people. I know it's hard to forgive sometimes. Believe me, I've been there. I've had to wash people's feet that spat upon me and talked bad about me and called the pastor on me. But you know what? I did what the Word said to do. I humbled myself and I washed their feet. Are you bragging, Brother Sean? No, I'm saying it works. I'm telling you, I'm not just up here saying something I haven't been through. Yes, I'm a young man, but just because you're young doesn't mean you haven't traveled with Jesus a little long ways. Doesn't mean I haven't been through some experiences that would shock you and rock your world if I told you about some of the trials and tribulations that I've had to endure as a young man. But God is faithful because I believed in Him. Because I believed in Him when it looked so black, when it looked so dark, when it looked like night was caving in on me. I believed in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and He delivered me, and He will deliver you. He will deliver you. He'll save that child that you think is unsavable. That's why God wants me to deliver this message today, because we've got loved ones and we've got children that need to be saved, and we've got to believe to see the glory of God in the land we're living in right here and right now. And I believe that we can see it. I believe we can see the manifestation of the sons of God right here in our day and we live in right now. I believe that we're going to lay hands on the sick and they're going to recover, because the Word of God says for us to do that. And I believe that they are. You don't have to believe with me. You don't have to walk beside me, because I made a personal decision today when the Lord gave me this message that whether y'all do or not, I'm going to choose to believe God. But thank God I'm in a church where I know that there are those of you that will believe God, and we're going to see a mighty manifestation of the Spirit of God. We're going to see God deliver, and we're going to see God set free, and we're going to see God save. I said, God, I didn't say our programs. I didn't say how big our church was. I said, God deliver and God set free and God save. We've loved the praise of men and the programs of men more than the power of the living God. And God wants to restore His power to His church. Programs will not save my children nor yours, but the cross of Jesus Christ will. When I taught young people, I couldn't get away from deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow Jesus. Brother Mike is my witness. That was the number one message that I would always minister, would be that message, because it's the cross that saves. It's the cross that delivers. It's the cross that heals. It's the cross that saved you, and it's the cross that saved me. And it's the only thing that saves in the world today. Money is not going to save us. Your 401k is not going to save you, but the Lord Jesus Christ will. The Lord Jesus Christ will save you. He will deliver you. He gives us the power to become His sons. I don't know, maybe you're a young person and you're wondering, how do I live for Jesus? How do I walk this thing out called the Christian life? Let me tell you something. When you get saved, He will give you the power to become the sons of the living God. He will give you the power to live for Him. He'll give you the power to say no to that temptation that you've been struggling with all your years. That giant that stands before you can become as a plant. It can fall not by your might, not by your ingenuity, but by the very Spirit of the living God. It can fall right before you. But you've got to believe that God can do it. You have to believe. I have to believe. And I can't believe for you, and you can't believe for me. But if you determine in your heart to believe God, you're going to see God move in your life. And I'm not talking about the little tricklings that we've seen over the years. I'm talking about the very floodgates of heaven opening up and pouring out over your soul. I'm talking about mighty deliverances. I'm talking about mighty favor of the Lord. Turn with me, please, to the book of Mark. Chapter 5, verse 26. We're going to get into this because God wants to do miraculous things. In Mark 5, it's the woman with the issue of blood. You can turn there, you can read it for homework or whatever. But in Mark chapter 5, we see that a woman has an issue of blood that she had all of her lives. She went to every man that she could go to. She relied on man. She went to every doctor, she went to every physician that she could go to. She spent everything that she had. Everything she had, she spent so she could get better. She met Jesus one time. One time, she met Jesus one time and said, if I can but touch the hem of his garment, I will be made whole. She reached in. She went through the crowd. And you're going to have to go through the crowd, my brother and sister. You're going to have to press through all the distracting voices, all the voices that say it can't happen, it won't happen, this isn't going to happen for you, and that's not going to happen for you. No, it is going to happen for you, but you're going to have to believe God. You're going to have to press through. Paul said, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. This Christian walk is not a walk where we just sit down and Jesus just lays everything in our lap. That's not the Christian walk. The Christian walk is you got to get up and you got to walk somewhere. Jesus went and worked with the disciples, and it says, as they went, the Lord working with them. And God wants to work with you, and God wants to work with me. And he wants to see people set free and delivered, and the captive set free. He wants to save your family members, but they've got to see it in our life. They've got to see it in us. Does no good for us to come to church and go out into this world if our co-workers and our relatives can't see Christ living on the inside of us. They should be able to see his glory and his manifested power and peace in our lives as we walk out daily. Doesn't mean you're not going to have trouble and circumstances. It just means when you have the trouble, you fall on your knees and say, Lord, help me. I'm in need of help. Verse 26 says, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. Isn't it amazing? Sometimes you go to the doctor and you get medicine and things grow worse. But when you go to Jesus, how? things get better. I've said it before, I'm going to say it again. If I go to the doctor and he's going to prescribe me, I said, Doc, what's the side effects to this medicine? Well, you're going to have an upset stomach, nausea, diarrhea. I'm not taking it, Doc. Don't even fill it out. Don't even give it to me. Because I'm just not going to take something that's going to upset some of my stomach. I'm sorry, that's just me. Brother Sean, that's not using wisdom. Well, I'm going to put my trust in my health in Jesus. That's all the wisdom I need. I'm not going to put my trust in man and have an upset stomach and have to worry about going to the restroom all the time. I'm going to put my trust in Jesus. Y'all do what you want to, but I'm going to trust Jesus. But that's what we do. We go to the doctor, they give us a prescription. They don't even really run tests. They just try to give us a prescription, and they have all kinds of side effects. And then we take the medicine for a week, and then the next week we feel bad and have an upset stomach and don't understand why, because we forgot to read what the side effects are on the drugs that they gave us. I'm sorry I'm so truthful. Y'all just have to forgive me. I just can't take medicine that's going to make me sick. It's just something I can't do. Medicine's supposed to make you better, not make you worse. But we're living in a day and a time where all they care about is the money instead of getting people better. They're treating the symptom instead of the problem. And we need to treat the problem versus the symptom. Thank you for the amen. I'm sorry I got on this little soapbox, but I just can't take medicine like that. My wife gets on to me, you should take it, honey. No, I'm not taking it. Sorry, honey, I'm not taking it. Just ain't doing it. For she said, if I may but touch... Oh, let me back up here. When she had heard of Jesus... Oh, see, we need to brag on Jesus. We don't need to brag on our programs. We don't need to brag on our church. We need to brag on our Lord and Savior. We need to brag on Jesus. I hear people... I got on the... Jennifer one time, she said, I'm trying to get Jennifer to come to church. I said, no, Jennifer don't need to come to church. Coming to church isn't going to get Jennifer saved. Thank you for the amen, but it's not. She can get saved by coming to church, but coming to church doesn't save you. She can get saved because she comes to church and hears a message on salvation and comes down and gets saved, but coming to church don't save you. So I said, Jennifer, just pray she gets saved. Just keep praying she gets saved. Just keep praying she gets saved, and the Lord continues to bother her. When she wants to get right, she knows where to come to get right. Because we want her to be real. We don't want to see her come down to an altar and walk out the door right away and never come back. Because that's not salvation. I'm moving on. And he had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing better, but rather grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. If I may but touch his clothes, I shall be whole. See, if we can just... See, sometimes we need to close our door to our room, away from everyone, including our husband or our wife or our children. And we just need to get alone with Jesus. And we need to touch Jesus. Because when we touch Jesus, he's going to take care of us. He's going to heal all our hurts, all of our anxieties, all of our wounds. I know you might have been hurt. And I know you might have trouble forgiving that person that you need to forgive. But if you would just go to Jesus and say, Lord, I want to forgive, but I'm having trouble forgiving, Jesus is going to help you. He's not a God that we can't talk to like that, my brother and sister. I've had to do it like that. And believe you me, he's helped me. And he's delivered me. And I've been able to forgive people of things that have been done to me that are pretty horrifying and pretty horrendous. But the Lord has been faithful. And I can stand here before you today and honestly say that if I saw them in the mall, I could go up to them, hug their neck, shake their hand, and talk to them like nothing ever happened. Because that's what Jesus does. And that's what he expects us to do. It's an amazing thing. We want God to forgive us, but we don't want to forgive our brother and sister. I just find it amazing. We go to God every... Lord, forgive me for that bad attitude I had. And then somebody has a bad attitude with you and you don't want to forgive them. He's a practical God. I'm sorry. It's just... He's practical. We try to mystify him and he's not that mysterious. He's very practical. He spoke in parables. He spoke plainly to the people. He's very practical. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. Oh, I long for the day to hear Christians when I tell them the Lord will heal you. Well, Brother Sean, let's pray right now. Instead of, well, I know, but I got this pain in my neck. I know you got the pain in your neck, but God wants to touch that pain in your neck. God wants to heal you. Maybe I'm the pain in the neck. That's why you can't get healed. I don't know. I'm sorry, I just was a little funny. I'm excited to be living for Jesus. I'm excited to be here tonight because God is good. And he saved my sorry old hide. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus is immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman was fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. Isn't it amazing that everybody can come to church? We can all come to church, but one person can come in here and believe God to be healed, and they'll get healed. Why? Because they said in their heart on the way to church, I've got to get to church. I need a touch from God. I need a miracle of God. And if we would all come in here like that, we would all be touched by God. We would all have a miracle of God. And we would all have the healing that we need to have in our bodies and in ourselves. But we get comfortable in the churches that we go to. And we just come knowing God's going to show up, but we don't really come expecting to receive anything from the Lord. We need to come expecting to receive something. We need to come with a spirit of expectation when we come to the house of the Lord, because God's going to do great and mighty things. We've lost our spirit of expectancy of the Lord. And we need to come with a spirit that God's going to touch, God's going to heal, and God's going to deliver. And God's going to touch you no matter how rotten you might have been during the week. Because sometimes we can be rotten. Oh, thank you for the amen. I know we're Christians, but that don't mean we don't get bad attitudes. Amen. With our husbands, with our wives. That doesn't mean we don't get bad attitudes. With our coworkers, or we can murmur about our bosses. I'm a practical person. Y'all will learn that about me. I'm just practical. But she made a decision. I got to touch Jesus. All these other people were touching Jesus. But she said, if I can touch his garment, I'm going to be healed. And if we would come into church and say, if I can just get in the presence of God and touch Jesus, He's going to heal me. He's going to set me free. He's going to deliver me. See, it's not in the church, it's in the man Jesus. It's not in the organization, it's in Christ the Lord. While he yet spake, there came from the rule. I'm going to go on because I got to get into this. You know, your road might be dark, but there's a promise coming down your dusty road. I want you to know there's a promise coming down your dusty road. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. See, when God does something, he does it. When God makes somebody whole, he makes them whole. We don't have to worry about the doctors not finding a miracle that didn't happen. Because when God does it, the miracle is going to happen and it's going to be sustained and it's going to be verified. While he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, Thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, Be not afraid, only believe. I want to stop right there for a minute. Because we have a lot of troublesome things come our way. We have a lot of bad news come and hit us through the media and through the world today. And yet Jesus says, Be not afraid, only believe. I want to ask you something, my brother and sister. When those negative reports that you get, I don't care where they come from, we've got to stop and not be afraid. I'm glad Jesus said, Be not afraid. Because if one of our children were to get hurt, fear is going to grip us a little bit. But Jesus says, Be not afraid, only believe. So if, God forbid, one of my children got ran over, I would be devastated at first. I would go to the hospital, to the emergency room. And I would have to get with the doctors and find out everything's good that's going on and what the how bad they're hurt, so forth and so on. And I would hear that, and then I would have to go into a room, and I would have to be alone, because that's my character. I don't want my wife around me. I don't want my family. I just want to be alone, because when I'm alone and I can hear from the very Spirit of God, I know that everything's going to be okay. It's when I'm not alone, and I try to do things in myself, that things get out of hand, and my family can say, Amen, it's okay. But when I can get alone, and I can hear from God, and I can let God tell me what I need to do and how I need to handle the situation, how the situation changes completely. And it's no different for you that if we get alone with Jesus, and you can hear from the Lord God Almighty how He's going to change your situation. I know that rebellious kid that you've had, that you've been praying for 20 years, isn't saved, and it doesn't look like they're going to get saved. But don't be afraid. All you have to do is believe, and God is going to take up the battle. Yes, they have a will. But God has ways and means and knows how to bend that will. Believe me, He bent my will. He can bend their will. As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken. Isn't that just like Jesus? A negative report comes and Jesus comes full of faith. Don't be afraid, only believe. Mike goes to the doctor, gets a bad report, comes to church, talks to us about it. Mike, don't be afraid, just believe. That's what we're going to tell him. That's what I'm going to tell him. Mike, we can see a miracle. Might be a day, might be a month, might be a week. The only thing is we're going to believe. Ain't nothing wrong with praying 500 times. It's not a lack of faith. Thank you for the amen. It's not a lack of faith to pray 500 times and to keep asking. The Bible said to knock, to keep on knocking, ask, to keep on asking. I don't care how many times it takes. I'm going to keep asking Jesus till he gets tired of me asking. And maybe he'll answer me. I mean, we don't treat Jesus like he's a real person, but he is. He is. That's how I talked to God on the way to work. I said, Lord, you got to answer this prayer. I'm getting tired of praying this prayer, Lord. And he says, No, son, you got to be a little bit more patient. And I just shut up. We don't like patience. We don't like to wait. We want the answer now. You know, most Christians want to have it their way, like Burger King. Let me talk to Jesus for 1 minute and 20 seconds and let him answer me. Bing! Answer. No, it doesn't work that way. We got to ask and ask and sometimes ask and sometimes ask, and God's delay is not His denial. His delay is not His denial. Be not afraid, only believe. And He suffered no man to follow Him, save Peter and James and John, the brother of James. And He cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and seeth the tumult, and them that wept and wailed greatly. And when He was come into, He saith unto them, Why make ye this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth. I'm going to tell you something. When God gives you a word, He gives you a word. And it does not matter what the circumstance looks like or how dark it might be. That word's going to change that circumstance. You just have to believe. Notice I didn't say He... No, I'm not going to go there. Thank you, Holy Spirit. When God gives you a word, don't matter what the circumstance is or how dark it is, God's giving you a word to change that circumstance. The only problem is sometimes we don't listen to what God has to say. We think we know the answer and that we can just fix, especially us men, we try to fix things ourselves. And we just need to get out of the way and hear a word from the Lord. What we need is we need some men like the sons of Issachar in this day and time that we live in. Men that understood the times that they lived in and knew how to move the hand of God. That's exactly what we need in churches today and behind pulpits. Why make ye this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed Him to scorn. But when He had put them all out, amen, brother, put them all out, Jesus. He taketh the father and the mother of the damsel and them that were with Him. So if I ever ask you to leave because you don't believe God's going to do something, don't get offended at me. Because when I go to pray for somebody, and we go to pray for somebody, I want people in here that are going to believe God and touch the throne of God and see a miracle. Because that's what we need sometimes, is we need a very miracle of God. He taketh the father and the mother of the damsel and them that were with Him, and entereth in where the damsel was lying. And He took the damsel by the hand and said unto her, Talitha, come, which is being interpreted, damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was of the age of 12 years old. And they were astonished with great astonishment. Let me tell you something, my brother and sister. It said they were astonished with great astonishment. When God does something, He's going to astound us all. We're going to be dumbfounded when God begins to move in this place and in our lives and in the church once again. He's going to rock our world because He's the King of Kings and He is the Lord of Lords. When He does something, He don't just do it, He does it because He's God. If He wants to part the Red Sea, He can part the Red Sea in your life. You just don't need to be afraid, but you need to believe. You need to believe for that son or that daughter that's lost and isn't serving Jesus right now. I don't care what how dark it might seem. Jesus can save them. Jesus can deliver them. Jesus can open their blinded eyes. But we have to believe that God is able to do it. Many times I've ministered to Brother Venable, the latter half of his ministry is going to be greater than the former. And everybody says, well, we haven't grown. No, but we've done more on media in the last year than we have in the 30 years of ministry that he's been preaching this year. Proof's in the pudding. I do not do things unless the Lord tells me to, those of you that know me. I will not be one of those ministers that just minister something because I want to have a good heart and do something. I don't play that game. Neither does our pastor. If God's Spirit does not unction me, I will not do anything. Because I've got to have the unction of the Spirit to do something and to pray for somebody. I have to be led by the Spirit of God to pray for somebody. Because I want to see God touch them, and I want to see God deliver them, and I want to see God change them. I've seen too many falseness growing up in the church. I want the real, and I've seen the real. So when I visit other churches and I see the false, I quickly get up and leave. Brother Sean, that's rude. Well, I'm rude then. I'm sorry, but I can't deal with the false. I've got to have the real. Because we serve a real God. who died on a real cross, who rose from a real grave on the third day, so you and I could have a real everlasting life and have it more abundantly. I like how Jesus talks, be not afraid, only believe. So we live in the 21st century, and we live in the church today. Well, that happened 20 years ago, and the miracles aren't for today. I beg to differ. They are for today. Amen, sister. God doesn't change. We change. And know how we change so many times. God will touch us. God will deliver us. God will set us free, and we'll be doing good for a while. We'll be walking on that straight and narrow, and bam, we'll take it hit, and we'll be over here in left field somewhere. And God always graciously pulls us back. God always graciously pulls us back. I didn't pull it out, Brother Doug. Relax. He's over there worried about the microphone. I can see it all over his face. I didn't go too far, brother. It's okay, I promise. But when we get over into left field, God always has a way to pull us over. Now, some of us have been pulled back over with the bit and the bridle because we've been stubborn. Others of us have been pulled over by His love and His mercy and His grace. Which are you? I've had both happen to me, I'll be honest. But be not afraid, only believe. That's hard to tell a father who just heard that his daughter died. I mean, think about it. Somebody comes to you and says, don't bother the doctor. She's already dead. And yet Jesus turns and says, be not afraid, only believe, and goes back to talking to somebody else. I mean, I don't want to get into it because I'm going to read it here in a little bit, but the God of the universe, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, be not afraid, only believe. And yet we have a problem believing in the God of this word. And we have problems believing that He can do what He says He can do in this word. And we wonder why we don't see the manifestations and the presence of God and the miracles of God, because we don't believe. And God wants us to believe. He wants me to believe, and He wants you to believe. How many want to see miracles? Then believe. Then believe. Brother Sean, that's too easy. No, it's really not. It's really not. If we cast down those imaginations that enter our mind when we go to pray for somebody. Oh, well, guess what? Do you think it's you that's going to heal the person, or is it going to be God? You're just the vessel. He's the master. He's the healer. You're just the point of contact. I ain't going to go too far, Doug. Please relax. This fan requires power. I unplugged the fans back there, but that's okay. This fan requires power. It doesn't have any power right now. But if I plug it in, it's got power. It's got a point of contact. Current flows. Sometimes we're just like the current that flows to somebody when we touch somebody and when we pray for somebody. We're just a vessel. We're just a power source for God to use us to deliver, to pray, and to set the captive free, and to see somebody's life healed and touched by the very power of the living God. But we don't see it that way. We just expect that we got to be on some platform, and we don't necessarily have to be on some platform. We don't necessarily have to be preaching. Oh, thank you for the amen. I guess it only works for ministers. I guess we can't be at a home and somebody come in and say, hey, I need prayer, and us pray right there because we're the sons and daughters of the living God, and see God move, touch, and deliver, and heal. This has to work at the home as much as it works here in the church. Matter of fact, it should work in the home more than it works in the church. My wife will tell me she's hurting, and I'll pray for her. It don't matter. I'm going to pray. I'll get a headache. I'll say, honey, pray for me. Just take some aspirin. No, pray for me. And if she's in the back room, I'm in the doghouse when we get home. No, I'm just kidding. I'll have my daughter pray for me. Why, Brother Sean? Because I don't want to rely on medicine. I don't have a problem with medicine, but I want to rely on my great, big, wonderful God. It's easy to take aspirin, pop them in your mouth, drink a little water. It's a whole other thing to believe God to heal your headache. But we got to start somewhere and believe in God to heal us. And we've got to slay some lions and some bears before we try to attack the giants. We want to be known as giant killers, and we can't even get a headache healed. I know I just hit home, but it's okay. I still love y'all. Oh, well, let's go pray for brother so-and-so. They got cancer. You just had a headache 5 minutes ago and took some aspirin. I told y'all I was practical. Jesus said, be not afraid, only believe. Be not afraid, only believe. Brother Sean, are you getting on to us? No, I'm not getting on to you. I just want you to realize that God wants us to believe in Him and on Him for every area of our life. Whether it be a headache, whether it be a toothache like me and Jimmy suffer from a lot of times, or whether it be an earache, whatever it might be. God wants us to believe in Him because He cares for us. He cares for you. He cares for me. If He didn't care for us, He wouldn't have died for us, my brother and sister. That's why He wants us to believe Him. Because He paid for it at Calvary. He took stripes on His back so you and I can be healed, first and foremost for our soul, and secondly for our body. Because if the soul is healed, everything else will fall into place. But if the soul is not healed, then that's what we need to get healed first and foremost, is your soul, your spirit man. You need to be born again if you haven't been. And then everything else will fall into place as far as your healing goes. Maybe you've got an unsaved mama, an unsaved daddy. I don't know. But God is able to save them. God is able to heal them. God is able to deliver them. Mark chapter 9, verses 19 to 29. I'm going to start reading for time's sake. He answered him and saith, oh, this is about a young man who the disciples could not cast an evil spirit out of. And this is Jesus' disciples couldn't cast an unclean spirit out. So let me read. Verse 19, he answereth him and saith, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming. He asked his father, how long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, of a child. And oft times it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. I'm glad that's in there. Because there are going to be times in my life and your life where we're going to have trouble believing. And we can go to God honestly and say, Lord, I believe, I'm just having trouble in this area of believing. Will you help me? And God the Father and God the Son is going to help us to believe Him. Because He wants us to believe Him, because He wants to move miraculous for us. We are His children. He likes to answer us. He likes us to look good. He likes us to be in good health. He likes us to prosper. Just because there are people out there abusing that doesn't mean it's not so. Thank you for the amen. I know there's abuses, but I'm not going to throw it away because it is in the book. It's in the book, so I'm going to believe it because it's in the book. Not because brother so-and-so said it, but because the B-I-B-L-E said it. Because this is going to stand forever. You and I are going to pass away, but this is going to abide forever. So it's time we start believing what this says. Jesus said to him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him, and enter no more into him. And the spirit cried and rent him sore, and came out of him. And he was as one dead, insomuch that many said, he is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he was come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could not we cast him out? I want to stop there. We've seen people go to quote unquote healing ministries and not get healed. It's been documented. I'm not letting no cat out of the bag. It's been on 2020, so forth, et cetera, and so on. Because they went to a meeting to have a man touch them. Because they have a quote-unquote healing ministry. But if those people would have said, I'm going so Jesus can touch me through that man, I believe that they would have been healed. Because it's Jesus that does the healing. It's not the man with the anointing. It's not the woman with the anointing. It's Jesus that does the healing. It's Jesus that does the delivering. God anoints people, but that doesn't mean they have the power to heal. Jesus is still the healer. Yes, he gives us power and authority over all the power of the enemy. That doesn't make me God. I can't command this to go here and that to go there. I'm not God, and neither are you, and neither is anybody else that says they are. If they are, then I want to see them say $1 million go in my bank account, and then maybe I'll believe them. But until then, I'm not going to believe them. That's foolishness. And that's all I'm going to say about that. Turn with me, please, to Mark 11, 22 to 26. God just wants us to believe him, my brother and sister. Pull the limits off and believe him. I know it's not easy. I know you might get made fun of by your fellow Christian peers, but just believe God anyway. It'll be okay. If I'm a saved man, thank God my wife saved. Thank God my wife saved. But if I'm a man and I'm coming to church and I've been coming to church for 5 years, 10 years, and she's not saved, I don't want to come to a church that ain't going to stand with me and believe with me for my wife's salvation. I don't want to come to a church where somebody's going to talk negative or talk down or talk discouraged to me. I want to come somewhere where they're going to lift me up. They're going to talk encouragement to me. Yeah, Brother Sean, we can believe God to save her and set her soul free. That's how we need to be talking as children of God. Oh, thank you for the amen. We don't need to talk like we used to talk in the world. We're Christians, full of doubt and unbelief. But we need to talk that God can save, even to the saving of the soul. Because we are his children. We are supposed to be walking in the newness of life. Verse 22. And Jesus answering said to them, have faith in God. Have faith in who? God. Not faith in an organization, not faith in a man, but have faith in God. Not even faith in your pastor, but faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. See, I believe we pray for them, but I honestly don't believe we pray to actually receive them and hold them manifest in our hands, because if we did, we'd have them. We pray, and then we just expect God to do it, and God will do it, but we've got to believe, and we've still got to pray. And we've got to expect God to answer our prayers when we pray. Thank you for the amen. I said earlier that we need to come to church with a spirit of expectancy. Well, when we pray, we need to have a spirit of expectancy that he's going to answer, because we call upon him in the time of trouble, and he's going to answer and say, lo, here am I. And when you stand praying, oh, this all ties in with tonight's service, praise the Lord. And when you stand praying, forgive. If you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, boy, I'm glad this is in there, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive you of your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, why is it that us American Christians love to get Jesus' forgiveness but don't like to forgive anybody else? We want Jesus to forgive us, but I don't want to forgive Brother Mike. It happens all over American churches today. Don't look at me like that. Even if you've been to a church and they may have done you wrong, may have had false doctrine, you still got to forgive them and pray that God will bring them into the light. They may never come to the light, but you need to believe that God can bring them to the light. Gotta believe that old rank son or daughter that needs Jesus was going to get saved. You gotta believe. You have to believe. Brother Willie, I don't know how long it took for your daughter to get saved and come to Jesus, but she did. Because you believed. My mom, when my sister and I were both backslidden, my mom believed. My mom got on her face and grabbed a hold of the horns of the altar, but you don't hear too much of that anymore. She got on her face and she prayed and she fought demons and she fought devils. And when I would come home smashed and trashed and walk in the front door and she'd be on the floor praying, I'd say, "Mama, stop praying," because it would convict me. "Stop praying. I'm going to bed. Mama, stop praying." And I would go to bed. But she wouldn't go to bed and stop praying until I came home, because she cared for my soul. She cared more about my soul than she did my temporal convenience. And oh, that parents would care more for their children's souls than their temporal convenience. We got too many parents that care more for their kids' temporal convenience and comfortness more than, hey, let them be uncomfortable in this world and be comfortable in heaven. Because God forbid they be comfortable in this world and bust hell wide open and be uncomfortable for eternity. Because we are talking about eternity, and where our kids and where our loved ones are going to spend is somewhere in eternity. It's either going to be heaven or it's going to be hell. There ain't going to be nowhere else. That's why we must believe to see the glory of God in the land of the living. It's important that you and I believe. It's important that when we pray, we expect God to move and we expect Him to deliver. Turn with me, please, to the book of John in closing, chapter 11. Yes. Yes. Yeah, and you know, people need to talk about unforgiveness more, because it is something that us Christians have to deal with day to day and time to time. We have to deal with it. It's a real enemy. It's a real issue in the church. And you have to deal with it. You can't just cover it up. You can't just sweep it under a carpet, because it doesn't go away. It's like a canker. It's like a cancer. When it gets in you, it keeps growing and growing and growing and growing until it destroys you. But people don't see that. They just put it aside. Oh, it's no big deal, but it is a big deal. Because it keeps your prayers from being answered. And it keeps you wrong with the Lord. And you know that you're going to come to a church that's going to tell you the truth. So you came here, just remember that. It's no accident that you are here tonight. Divine appointment. When people walk in that door, I get excited because I never know who's coming. And I told my family, do not tell me who's coming. I do not want to know who's coming because I don't want to get, let's face it, if we know who's coming, we might have a tendency to preach what so brother so-and-so needs. Everybody's done that. Don't look at me like I'm so crazy. Instead of hearing what the Lord has to say and what the Spirit has to say. That's what ministers deal with. Don't look at me like I'm crazy. I'm just honest and open before everybody. Maybe that's half my problem. I don't know. John chapter 11. Jesus said we'll be living epistles read of all men. So, everybody's watching you and me. Now, a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that he was sick, he said, the sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now let me explain something to you. I want to go back and read that again because it said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God. Now the only way it's for the glory of God is because Jesus is going to heal it. That is the only way sickness is going to give glory to God. A sickness is not going to give glory to God if that person dies before their time. But if you get a sickness and it's for the glory of God and you get healed, then it's for the glory of God. But if you do not get healed, it's not for the glory of God, because God doesn't want us sick. As I read that today, it stood out to me and I said, wow, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. There are some sicknesses that Jesus wants to be glorified in because he wants to heal them. Because at the name of Jesus, every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess. And every sickness has to bow to the name of Jesus. Every disease has to bow to the name of Jesus. I don't care what it is, how big you might think it is. It has to bow to the name of Jesus. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Then after that saith he to his disciples, let us go into Judea again. His disciples say unto him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again? Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, but because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in dark in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. These things said he, after that he saith unto them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. I love how Jesus talked. Jesus talks full of faith. He's not dead. He's just sleeping. He's just resting. The doctor says he's dead, but Jesus said he's not dead. He's sleeping. We got to go with what God's word says, my brother and sister. We got to go with the report of the Lord. We got to go with what Jesus has to say on the matter. If you go to the doctor and you get a bad report, you need to lay your report right beside the word of God. And you need to say, This is going to bow to that, because this is greater than that. And see, we don't have too many Christians that want to do that today. They want to get the report of the Lord, and they want to get afraid. And hey, there's nothing wrong with getting afraid. Just go to God and say, Lord, help me with my fearfulness. Help me with my doubt and with my unbelief. I want to believe you, Abba Father. I want to believe that you can touch me. I want to believe that you can heal me. I want to believe that I can see the manifest presence of God heal my body and dry up this sickness or this disease that's in my body. There are diseases out there. We've got the swine flu, but I'm not worried about the swine flu because Jesus is greater than the swine flu. We have a covenant that reaches to 1,000 generations. And because I believe the covenant, and it says no sickness and no plague or no disease shall come out of that dwelling, I'm not expecting to get the swine flu, nor my family, nor my children, because I am a righteous man and you are a righteous man and woman, and you should believe the same thing. We shouldn't walk in fearfulness because of the plagues and because of the rumors and because of all the things in the world that are talked about today. We have a God in heaven that said, I loved you, I gave my son for you, and I have a covenant that reaches to 1,000 generations, and there's no plague that's going to touch you if you abide in my presence and you believe me. But we've got to believe him. We've got to believe that God is able to do exactly what his word says that it can do. Why do we believe the doctors? Because there's a mass in our body. But we don't believe God's word when it says he can heal us. Think about that. That's too close to home, Brother Sean. I know it is. It's meant to be. Our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Howbeit Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking a rest and sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, let us go also, go that we may die with him. Then when Jesus came, he found that he had lying in the grave for days already. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went out and met him. But Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus answered her, thy brother shall rise again. I love how Jesus talks. Jesus knows he's dead, but Jesus said he's going to rise again. I know your loved ones that aren't saved right now, but they're going to get saved because you're going to pray and you're going to believe. That's how you got to look at it, my brother and sister. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? I want you to understand something. We've got to believe that. We've got to believe that he is exactly what he just said he was. He is the resurrection and the life. This ain't just for Easter, my brother and sister. This is for every day of our life. He is the resurrection. He is our life. He is our peace. He is our hope and he is our joy. She saith unto him, yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which had come into the world. And when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary, her sister, secretly, saying, the Master has come and calleth for thee. As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came unto him. Now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in that place where Martha met him. Let me turn the page. The Jews then which were with her in the house and comforted her, when they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, she goeth unto the grave to weep there. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and said, where have you laid him? They say unto him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, behold, how he loved him. I'm glad Jesus was moved with compassion there. I'm glad he groaned in his spirit and he cared for humanity. And some of them said, could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man should not have died? Jesus therefore again groaning in himself coming to the grave. It was a cave and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. Jesus saith unto her, said I not unto thee, if thou wouldest believe, that thou shouldest see the glory of God. Take away the stone. Isn't it amazing in our lives how we have circumstances that are real? We have trials that are real. Circumstances that we cannot change, that we don't seem that we can get away from. They're in the way. They're in the way of our relationship with God, and they're hindering us. It's like a wall in the way, and God wants to remove that wall so there are no hindrances in your relationship with God. God wants you to remove that wall too by believing Him, that He can remove that wall, that obstacle that's troubling you, that you're fearful of. There's nothing wrong with being afraid. We need to learn how to manage that fear. And we need to ask God to help us. Lord, I'm afraid. Help me not to be afraid. Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. It's easy to believe God when we feel good. But when we don't feel good and we got the sniffles and we got a cold, sometimes it's not so easy to believe Him. But He says, be not afraid, only believe. That's what Jesus, that's not my words. These are His words. Please understand, these are His words. Jesus saith unto her, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? I want to say unto you, I don't care what it is you're facing, if you would just believe, you can see the glory of God manifest in your situation, and you can see God deliver you. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up His eyes and said, Father, I thank Thee that Thou hast heard Me. See, Jesus knew that the Father was going to hear Him. That's the kind of praying that we need to pray. When we pray, we need to know that God's going to hear us and that He's going to answer. And we need to be a little bit bold, not confident, but bold. There's a difference. We need to be confident in God, but not confident in ourselves. Paul said, my sufficiency is not in myself, but it is of the Lord. And our sufficiency doesn't need to be in ourselves, but it needs to be in the Lord. We need to trust in and rely on God at all times. And that's easier said than done, believe me. I live in a fallen world. I have real trials and I have real battles. And I always have to go to the Lord, help me to rely on You in this situation. And all of us in here can do that. We can go to God, Lord, help me to rely on You in the situation that I'm facing. And I knew that Thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that Thou hast sent me. And when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, loose him, and let him go. Then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did, believed on Him. See, we need to believe that God's going to do the miraculous. One of the signs of the gospel is that people get healed. That's one of the signs of the gospel. And God wants to restore that to His people and to His church, because He wants people to believe on Him so that they can get saved, so that they can be delivered. Because it does no good for us to come to church if we can't see the miraculous. If we can't see everything that God says that can happen in that book, we should be able to see it in the 21st century. But we've got to believe. We can say amen, but we've got to believe that God's going to do it. We've got to believe that when we pray, we're going to see the hand of God come down and deliver us. We're going to see the hand of God manifest, because He's God and we're His children. And we're not asking for selfish motives, but we're asking for that He's already paid for at the cross. When we go to ask for healing, it's been paid for at the cross. If I was a millionaire, and I am not, and I handed Mike a check, and he knew that I was a millionaire, and he went and cashed the check, he's going to cash the check because he knows I'm a millionaire. Well, my brother and sister, Jesus wrote us a check on healing, and He paid for it at Mount Calvary, and we need to cash the check. We need to cash the check. We need to believe that we're going to see the very glory of God. It's time to take the limits off. And it's time for us to believe God now more than ever. When we first got saved and we first all began to hang around each other, we used to believe God for the miraculous. We would believe God for silly things, and God would answer us and God would deliver us. And it's time that we believe Him for everything like that again, and even more so. He said, there's nothing too hard for Me. There is nothing too hard for our God. He made the heavens and He made the earth. Is there anything too hard for Him? No, there's not. There's nothing that's too hard for our God. It may be hard for us to accept that God wants to heal us, that God wants to touch us, because sometimes we feel unworthy. But my brother and sister, you're worthy because of the blood of Jesus, not because of any other reason, but because of His precious blood. And you need to stand in your standing of righteousness because of the blood of Jesus, not because of anything that you've done, but because everything He did at Mount Calvary and the cross of Jesus Christ. And because He rose again on the third day, and because He is the resurrection and the life. And if we just believe on Him, we can be saved. So you just need to believe. I know it sounds cliché. I know it sounds easy. He's not asking you to do anything but believe. in your heart. That's all He's asking is each and every one of you and me is believe in my heart. And I believe most of us in here believe. And I also believe most of us say, when, Lord? How, Lord? How long, O Lord? And God's timing, not my timing, not your timing, in God's timing, He will manifest it. In the fullness of time, God sent forth a son born of a virgin woman. In the fullness of God's timing, not your timing, not my timing, but in God's timing, God will manifest it, God will do it, and God will deliver us. There are times I see God do things quickly. And there are other times it doesn't happen so quickly. But that doesn't mean He hasn't heard us. And that doesn't mean He's not going to deliver us. It just means we need to wait until we see the manifestation of His presence and His glory. But we don't want to wait for His manifestation, His presence, and His glory. So we go to the doctor. Because we don't want to wait for God to manifest and show up in our bodies. And it's in the going to the doctor that's a sign of unbelief. Thank you for the amen. I know I'm practical. We go to the doctor, we get diagnosed with something. I don't have a problem with that. We come up here for prayer. We go to the doctor to get results that we're healed. I don't have a problem with that. I don't think God does either. But we can't come up here for prayer and keep going back to the doctor for medicine and taking medicine. If we're going to come up here for prayer, throw the medicine away. I believe God will heal you and touch you. I just believe that. I'm sorry. If you don't want to believe that, you don't have to, but I'm going to believe that. Because God is a faithful God. I didn't say I was faithful. I didn't say the minister was faithful. I said God is faithful. God is not a man that He should lie, neither the Son of Man that He should repent. Have He not said it, and will He not bring it to pass? God's going to bring it to pass. God's going to do the miraculous. Not you and not me, but the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob wants to move in our behalf. He wants to move in our midst, and He needs us to believe Him to do it. He wants to move miraculously. He wants to move mightily. But we got to believe Him, church. We got to pull the limits off and believe Him. The children of Israel went around the wilderness for 40 years because of unbelief. How much unbelief are we going to let get in our lives and not walk in the promises of God? The promises of God are yes and amen to them that believe. So, it's up to you to believe, and it's up to me to believe. So just believe. Just believe. I expected this message to be different tonight, but the Lord took it another way, and He always does, and He's God, and He can do that. I'm glad that it's quiet, because that means you're thinking. It means the Holy Ghost is moving. Means the Holy Ghost is touching our lives and touching our hearts. And there's areas that we might not have believed God for that we need to believe Him to work in and to move on. That's okay. You just need to come to God and say, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. Be honest with God. We're so afraid to be honest with God. He sees it anyway. We ain't hiding nothing from Him. You're not hiding it from Him. You can try to hide it all you want to. You're not hiding it from Him. He sees when you get afraid. He sees when you have trouble not believing Him. And yet you won't go to Him and talk about it. And He wants you to. There is nothing hid from the eyes of Him that seeth. You're not hiding it from Him, and neither am I. Can't hide it from Him. His eye sees everything. Would you please stand? I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. When, before we got saved, we were walking dead men and women. But when we got saved, we were born again. And that is miraculous that we were born again. That's so extraordinary that the God of the universe would save us, that it blows my mind away to know that God would send a Son and a Savior for you and me. Because we were a stiff-necked people, a stubborn people, but yet God sent His Son for you and me. Brother, give us some more. Something sweet in the background. Maybe you're here tonight. Just bow your head. I don't know how to close this service, Lord, so you're going to have to help me. I know that He wants us to take the limits off. I know that He wants to move. He said this morning, whatever, through the gifts of the Spirit, He said, whatever's in the way, whatever mountain's in the way, He wants to remove. Whatever river's in the way, He wants to remove. So I don't know what mountain stands before you. I don't know what river might be stopped up, but God wants to remove it. It is no accident that the majority of the people that come to this church are here tonight. I don't believe that's an accident. Because God wants us to believe. Because we've got a pastor who believes. And we all need to line up with the Word of God and with the man of God and believe so that we can see the miraculous.